Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we'll talk about how central banks and distributed ledger technology could potentially coexist and how such a model would look like with the example of Switzerland. So if we look at kind of the basis of today's news story, it is basically this. So we have the financial markets in changing times, changes today and tomorrow, the digital future. So Andrea Mächle, she is a member of the governing board of the Swiss National Bank. The Swiss National Bank is kind of the central bank of Switzerland and has this job of to be the banks of the banks and have like a certain amount of stability in the country. Now she gave in on a money market event in front of the central bank of or Swiss National Bank in Switzerland, she gave kind of a talk and talked about the different aspects of distributed ledger technology. Now, first of all, one of the things that I think she kind of did wrong in her presentation was to mix up distributed ledger technology and blockchain. So she says these new types of developments, which are called distributed ledger technology or also known as blockchain. And to be absolutely clear here, distributed ledger technology is kind of the higher up name for all of these things that we talk about, and blockchain is one type of distributed ledger technology. So there are different types of distributed ledger or DLT projects that are in the cryptocurrency space, and blockchain is one of those. So that's one caveat, first of all. Second of all, it's really interesting to see kind of the perspective of a central banks when it comes to the topic of cryptocurrencies in general, and generally this DLT topic. It is kind of a, we hear all of these news stories, and that's why I really want to dive into this topic today, because it's important that I think we also look at it from a central banks or a banks or kind of a governmental organization on this type of technology that we talk about day in and day out. So keep in mind, like I've said in the beginning, the Swiss National Bank has kind of a job to keep the financial system of Switzerland stable. Now, it kind of gives a certain amount of infrastructure, a certain infrastructure in the financial world is kind of given by this Swiss National Bank, and how this exactly looks, we'll look at it here. So it is kind of this financial market infrastructure that is currently happening in Switzerland. It's now, this is a very simplistic overview, of course, but I think it's a really, really good example to understand how cryptocurrency or distributed ledger technology, and I'm using this interchangeably today because it's kind of, for us, it's for the people who watch these videos and listen to these podcasts, it's kind of already clear what the difference is. But I think that's why I use it interchangeably. But to be absolutely correct, we have to kind of talk about DLT or distributed ledger technology. So now, for the podcast listeners, what we're looking at currently is something called a financial market infrastructure. What you have is kind of the central bank at the bottom, which is bringing this real-time gross settlement system, offering this to the banks and to settlement service providers. The banks themselves are kind of handling the settlement parts, and then you also have the trade parts or the exchanges, which are kind of allowing people to trade, let's say, stocks. So in the example of a stock, it is the broker who sells a stock. For example, I am buying a stock on an exchange. The broker sells it to me, and while this trade happens, at the same time, kind of the settlement happens as well. So I exchange $1 for one stock of a company, and this settlement is also covered by this real-time gross settlement system that is coming from the central bank. So they are kind of giving a certain control and a certain authority of this stock exchange, if you will. Obviously, I never receive receive this stock. So in normal cases, it's not like I bring $1 to the bank and the bank gives me a piece of paper. No, it doesn't work like this. This is right now all digital and all kind of on paper, if you will. But this is like the general infrastructure. And it is kind of the job of the central bank to offer at least this bottom part. So this real-time gross settlement part has to be offered by the central bank. Now, what happens between the settlement and the trade, so between the bank, the broker, and the exchange, is kind of what happens in the market. So the central bank doesn't really need to care about these things. Obviously, in if they are taking one step back, it's also kind of important to understand that the central bank has to obviously bring a certain amount of stability, but that doesn't mean that if the market goes crazy that the central bank always has to intervene. They only have to intervene in order to fulfill the mission or fulfill certain goals, but the goals are never, for example, profit and all of these things. And again, this is very specific to Switzerland. Obviously, different countries, different central banks, etc., etc. Now, what Andrea Mechler is talking about in her presentation is she generally gives an overview over the financial market infrastructure in Switzerland. So she talks about a bit in depth about these things. Then she kind of talks about how, first of all, how distributed ledger technology works, what it exactly means. I think it's fairly a non-technical crowd, so she doesn't go too much into the technical details. And afterwards, she kind of explains how distributed ledger technology could actually work in a system like this, and whether it would make sense to, for example, have this real-time gross settlement system covered in some kind of ledger technology. So she makes the case that in general, and we'll go to those slides, and I will try to kind of explain it to the podcast listeners as well, that distributed ledger technology has immense advantages. It is cheaper, it is more secure on paper, so technically it works much better, but this is only the case in the settlement area, so in the middle part of area where actually the banks are playing and where the market is already kind of active. There it makes a lot of sense. Now, the central bank, and again, don't forget here, the central bank's mission is to have to bring certain amount of stability to the country, at least to the financial part of the country. All of these other parts need to be super stable, super safe, super secure, and would never allow any kind of outage and in order to work 24/7. So that is, she's kind of making the case. And I will actually share this document, so the entire PDF with my annotations as well as my notes. I will share them in the Telegram group. So if you're not part of the Telegram group, make sure to join the free Telegram group. It's bit.ly/blue-alpine. There I will share this PDF document tomorrow, and there you will see my notes. So everything we discuss here will be noted, including her speech. She's arguing that this whole central bank area needs to be so stable and so secure because the central bank has this huge mission on their plate, and they have a really high standard when it comes to a certain amount of stability, that the distributed ledger technology or generally cryptocurrencies are just not there yet. Obviously, and we talked about this also transparently, cryptocurrencies have scalability issues, have security issues, and all of these things. So it's proven on paper, but not really proven in practice. And I think this is like the most important part. We are at the really, really beginning of this technology. And from an investor perspective, you have to kind of think about that we're at the beginning of this technology as well. So we are still at the super early ages. So it's not like the train has left the station, or you have missed like the bull run of 2017, all of these things. Yes, you might have missed some of those gains, but think about, still, we're at the beginning of this technology and it's still very evolving. And I've mentioned it yesterday, crypto assets, while in general an asset is something you can invest in, crypto asset doesn't really mean that it's investable right now. And this is also one of the points she's making. So it's not like we are the central bank, we are against cryptocurrencies. It's really, in my opinion, a somewhat objective view on how cryptocurrencies could help in the system of central banks. Now, today, what the system is, and we're looking at the exact same picture as before, but kind of with the players in between. So we have a complex, centralized, and bilateral reconciliation. So for every step of the way, both the buyer and the seller, both banks, both custodians, and all of these things have to be kind of connected in the middle somehow. And all of these steps in the middle are connected to each other. And only can only be accepted if, like, if I'm buying and the seller is accepting that, like, the broker in the middle kind of has to accept this trade in order to kind of succeed. Now, what could work in a, this is again on paper, and we're looking at the same exact slide. However, we're looking at it with from a DLT perspective. So it's decentralized and automated synchronization. So if a buyer meets a seller, the broker is automatically, if he or she is approving this, then the trade goes through automatically to the bank. The bank is automatically settling with the settlement service. The settlement service automatically puts this to the custodian. Real-time gross settlement is happening and central bank is issuing money or anything in between. So it's kind of decentralized and you don't really have these instances where people actually have to wait for an approval and wait for a confirmation, all of these things. Now, she's arguing, and this is really interesting, she's saying that what could work is that the whole settlement part, the kind of in-between part, so you have the trade, you have the settlement, you have the real-time gross settlement, which is coming from the central bank. And she's arguing that the middle part could actually be used with distributed ledger technology in order to make it more efficient. So what we're looking at right now is, for example, she makes kind of these two cases for coexistence. So one is settling payment leg using private token. So what we're seeing currently is between the real-time gross settlement part and the securities, or actually kind of the settlement part, you have a token in between. So this private token that is issued, for example, by the bank or is maybe even from someone else, is kind of exchanged between the banks in order to settle those trades. Now, another slide is if you kind of tokenize the central bank money. So between cash and the real-time gross settlement system, you have kind of a token. And it's kind of everything from the trade to the settlement works decentralized and automated and somewhat somewhat automated. But as soon as it comes to exchanging cash for a certain amount of value, then a token is kind of used in between. And what is really interesting is, now of course, if we come from a ideological perspective and we say, yeah, decentralize everything and we don't want any authority over our money and the system needs to be decentralized somehow, you have to think about where is Andrea Mechel coming from. She's member of the governing board. She's part of fulfilling the mission to keep a stable financial system. Now, while I think we, some of us or most of us want a somewhat a distributed, decentralized system where no single authority can kind of rule over our money, we at the same time don't want any chaos or anarchy in our financial system. So everyone is kind of interested in having a stable financial system. And she's making that case in the beginning as well that, for example, stocks as well as currencies are far more stable than for example Bitcoin, which has had like these crazy volatile times. So you always have to think about when you read these headlines that the central bank is against cryptocurrency or central bank bans XYZ, you always have to think about from the perspective of the central bank. A central bank has the essential mission to keep the financial system of the country stable. if this can be reached through a governmental cryptocurrency or a governmental issued token, then they will do that. If this is not a given, then they won't. And she's kind of making the case that the technology is still so early and still has kind of these scalability issues and liquidity issues and all of these things. And without properly solving them, it would be a huge risk for the central bank to actually accept or say, okay, we're from tomorrow on, we're switching our entire system to decentralized ledger technology. We're issuing a token. The Swiss franc will be digital. It's all coming from the central bank and all of these things. It sounds good on paper, but in practical terms, and the central bank, again, has to think in practical terms, does realize that there is just a lot of work that needs to be done. Cryptocurrencies need to prove themselves in order to become a viable alternative. And again, super important part for you as an investor. We're thinking from the perspective of a crypto asset. Of course, I want to invest into a crypto asset because I believe in 5, 10, 15 years, because I've done my fundamental research, that cryptocurrencies will be the number one currency, will be used when I share a bike or a car, will be used when I buy my coffee at Starbucks and all of these things. But there are these in-between steps that a central bank has to think about. And unless they are fulfilled, this won't properly happen. And they are kind of even looking at it and saying, well, technically, this could work as long as this first tier, which is kind of this real-time gross settlement system. So the entire system around the central bank has to stay stable, but the market, so the second tier end customer segment, so if you go from bank to end consumer, this is something that the market could in the end decide. So the banks are kind of open to accept Bitcoin, issue their own tokens, and play around with cryptocurrencies. But the central bank is saying, as long as these cryptocurrencies are as volatile, not stable, not scalable, we don't really need a better system because the system right now is working. Even during financial crisis, even during economic boom, it has worked, it does work, and it kind of course, it has probably its flaws, and I'm not versed enough to really understand and know about the inner process of a central bank, and I don't think it matters at this stage, because I still think the central bank has its mission. They need to kind of provide a certain amount of stability, and if you think about it, the outer layer, however, this is the market layer, so from bank to end consumer, there we could play around. There I think banks need to adjust. If the banks don't adjust, then we need maybe new payment organizations that could provide us and rely on blockchain technology or distributed ledger technology, depends on what exactly you mean, to really kind of work with us on a daily basis. So this is kind of a perspective that is a bit different from what we talk about normally. So normally we take news and analyze them and kind of think about from different perspectives, but I think this is a really good example. And maybe if you're listening to this on a podcast, maybe watch the video, look at the slides, definitely join the Telegram group so you can kind of go through the speech. It's about 20 slides, or it's a lot of text, but it's like 4 or 5 slides, so it's quite quick to understand and it's fairly simple. But I think she makes some really good points. And what I think is really positive is, again, and this speaks for crypto, is she's saying we're not against crypto. I mean, crypto can come, crypto can even play in the market, but the market is more than, or the central bank is more than the market. So in the end, crypto has to kind of prove itself first before becoming a viable alternative. And as you know, I believe in crypto, I believe in blockchain technology, but I still believe we need this killer application. We need this thing where network effects are at work. We need this thing where you have this application where you can go to a Starbucks and buy your coffee with Bitcoin, or like pay a token to buy like a ticket to a concert or to the train, or all of these things. without this, without these market applications, cryptocurrencies are just that, like media hype. But we really need some kind of application, some kind of practical innovation that happens in the market. And I think that's why it's really cool that Switzerland kind of wants to position itself with the Crypto Valley and Zug and all of these things to kind of become this place where, yeah, they're allowing it on the market, but the financial system has to stay stable. And I think from an ideological standpoint, or a philosophical standpoint, I think it's a good compromise to say, okay, let's play on the market. Let's try to kind of force banks or talk to banks and think about how can we bring Ethereum and smart contracts to kind of real estate, or let's bring Bitcoin to kind of peer-to-peer money transfers. But at the same time, we don't want chaos. We don't want anarchy when it comes to the financial system. So we still want to kind of have certain amount of stability in the system. I think this is a bit of a almost deep episode today. So I really urge you to kind of look into this video, look into the slides. Like I said, I will share them tomorrow in the Telegram channel. So join bit.ly/blue-alpine. And then you can join for free. And there you can kind of go through also my notes. I have made some notes in the presentation as well. And there you can really kind of understand how she positions the perspective. And with my notes to give you also kind of the crypto perspective, or the DLT perspective, if you will. And there you can really understand how central banks and cryptocurrencies could kind of coexist, how blockchain technology could work in a financial system that we have right now that is fairly stable, but we want that blockchain in our life. We want a certain amount of decentralization. We want faster payments. We want 24/7 payments, all of these things. And I think this is one of the ways we could go. Central bank takes care of stability, market, open field. Let's play. Let's show that innovation is possible. Let's do something about it. And I think this is an interesting concept that I kind of want to give you towards the end of the week. So it's definitely something to think about. Again, we're at the beginning of this technology, guys. So don't forget about this. This is still super early. It's also unproven. That's why it's risky. This is not financial advice. You have to kind of think about your portfolio. That's why I say 1% of your portfolio. Stay diversified. Stay informed. Read our research papers. Watch these videos. Listen to the podcast. And that's how you get the edge. That's how you kind of make it to the top and make good decisions. And with that, guys, we're already at the end of today's long episode, special episode. Make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast. Don't forget the Telegram channel, and I'll see you on the next one. Take care. Bye.